Well, our lectionary texts this morning obviously have a connection. They're all in the same book, so I suppose that's the broadest connection you can get. But the connection that I saw was that they're all about being dead. Death is involved in one way or another, but in a peculiar sort of way, and that's where the sermon title comes from. Dead? Maybe? Maybe not. And no, this is not like The Princess Bride, for any of you who have seen that delightful movie where a hero is just mostly dead, not completely dead. We're not talking about that. In this case, we're talking about completely dead. And I was telling Heather that I was thinking that I would probably spend some time in Ezekiel, and I was trying to figure out how can I possibly do without breaking into the song Dem Bones, but I'll do my best. Although, I planted it in your head, so we're all kind of stuck, I guess, with this visual image that I certainly had as a child of these bones coming together and then coming back to life, which, interestingly enough, considering what we have on television these days, was never a frightening image to me. I've heard some people who found it so, like when they read this story or when they heard that song, that they sort of thought of, you know, horror movies or something. I never saw it. My impression always was this sense of wonder. And when I was thinking about what holds these texts together, it's all about our human view of what is. And it's not that our human view is wrong. When Ezekiel was looking out at a field of bones, he saw bones. That's what was there to be seen. He wasn't misled. He wasn't somehow tricked into seeing people out there as bones. It's not like that. In our gospel reading, Lazarus had fallen asleep. He hadn't gone into a temporary coma or something. He was dead. The assessment of the people on the ground was absolutely accurate. They were dealing with dead people. Bones are about as dead as you can get. And so that's where the lectionary takes us first. And this whole notion that God can do something with the dead is one that is well worth us thinking through. And not just because of the season of the year, of Lent, when we're looking forward we're in preparation for that day when we celebrate Christ's returning to life. But it's more than that. Because these texts let us know that this is something that God can do more than just once. Now, we all know that Jesus was, of course, fully human, but he was also fully divine. Jesus was unique. In a larger sense than we are. We are all unique. We're all ourselves. There's nobody just like us. But we're all human, and we all share just that essential humanity, which Jesus shared, but on top of it also had divinity. So if it wasn't for texts like these, we could say, well, resurrection makes sense for Jesus because he was fully divine while being fully human, so he was a special case. Lazarus was not a special case. Lazarus was a human being, just like us, deeply loved by Jesus, but just human. The bones that Ezekiel prophesied to, and this isn't the first time that Ezekiel was called to prophesy to inanimate objects. Ezekiel's life as a prophet is one of the most unusual in that group of people who tended to be unusual, and well worth spending some time there. But Ezekiel was testifying, prophesying, to the bones of just regular people, regular parts of creation, nothing special about them. And while we can take this literally or not, it really doesn't matter. Because what the message of this passage in Ezekiel is that just because something's dead, that doesn't mean it's the end. Death is an end, and everyone in this room has had to face it in one way or another, through the death of a parent, a friend, someone that we looked up to that we never met. You know, why is it that people who are of a particular age can tell you exactly where they were when Kennedy was assassinated? Another generation can tell you exactly where they were when the shuttle blew up. Because we see the finality of death. It's an end. It's a point that is irreversible. It really hits us. We know what it means to be dead. But is death always the last word? Is death always the winner? These texts that we have this morning don't specifically address it in the way that some of my more favorite ones do, where Paul says, death, you have no sting. You think you've won, but you haven't. But we see here, we see God's interaction with what should be the end and saying, no, I go past the end. To the point where God's power is given evidence in life returning to bones. Possibly, I suppose, we can look at the story in Lazarus, or the Lazarus story in our gospel reading. We can say, well, maybe he was just unconscious for 4 days. I suppose it's possible. Bones are not unconscious. The Ezekiel story puts paid to any of that. And God and Ezekiel are looking out at this field of bones that Ezekiel sees as hopeless. And that the people of Israel at that point were finding themselves as dead as those bones. In verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. There's lots of different ways to look at death. But one of the most common ones is that it's an end. That when someone is dead, hope is gone for them to come back. And I think that makes sense. We understand that. No matter what our view is of the resurrection of the body here and later, we look at death as an end. It's hopeless at that point. But is death the only thing that robs our hope? No. And here we see very clearly that God is saying the people of Israel have come to the end of their belief. They've come to the end of their rope. They have no hope. They think they are as finished as these bones. In verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. I will be your hope. And that's where this section of this reading is where I've been coming back to frequently in the past few days. And that's where the sermon title really comes from. Dead, maybe? But maybe not. Not that we're not dead, but that death may or may not be the last word. And it's not here. The people of Israel were going through an impossible time, a time when saying they had no hope was a reasonable response to their circumstances. They hadn't just given up at the first difficulty. This was a tough time to be in the nation of Israel. And for us, as individuals and as families and as congregations, there come times in our lives when we lose hope. Not because we're quitters. Not because we don't have any sense of God's larger picture. But because we look at where we are, we look at the choices people have made, and we say, there is nothing beyond this. It's over. It's as if they're dead. It's as if the situation has brought death. And sometimes that's the best assessment that anybody could make. It's not that we're missing something. It's not that we are somehow blind to opportunities. It's we've looked at whatever the situation might be, perhaps with one of our children, one of our friends, an associate who has made decisions that have taken them into such a situation that there's no way out. And that's when God says, really? Yes, it can be incredibly difficult. There are all kinds of difficult situations. I listen to my kids talk about some of their classmates who are going to have babies at 15. Children having children. Like if that isn't the end of something, I don't know what is. I hear them talking about kids who have been thrown out of their homes because of what they've done. And I'm not judging their parents for doing it. I'm just looking at the situation and saying, is that the end? Is there any more than that? Where's the hope in this? Where's the hope in addictions that seem to be more than anyone can manage on their own? And sometimes even with help. What's the difference, really, between being physically dead and having your life as you know it end? Well, even if there isn't any difference, or if there is, it doesn't matter, because God comes into that and says, there is hope. God says, I am the God of hope. And if you think your situation is difficult, and I'm not saying it isn't, but God says, I bring people back from the dead. I'm not saying that your situation isn't hopeless. But I can make anything happen, is God's answer. What must it have been like for Ezekiel? Ezekiel had seen some extraordinary things as a prophet already. But what must that have been like? Ezekiel was well aware of the problems that Israel was going through. Ezekiel was just as prone to saying it's a hopeless situation as anyone else. But after standing there and seeing these bones come together, first into inanimate bodies and then life, would that not have perhaps changed his mind, at least a little bit, about what is hopeless and what isn't? There's a secular proverb, if you will, that says, where there's life, there's hope. And that's a good one, because where there's life, there's hope. For the Christian, where there's life or death, there's still hope. In Lent, we get into this time of the year where we are forced, if you will, or at least the opportunity is there in front of us, to reflect again on life and death and where the end really is. I don't know where any of you are in the scale of hope from complete confidence to complete hopelessness, except I know that at some point in your life you've been on pretty much every point in there, and you will again. And we can look to the Bible for Pollyanna answers and say it'll all work out in the end, and then pretend nothing has happened or nothing has changed. Or pretend that everything has changed when nothing has changed. Or we can put ourselves into the story of Lazarus, where we have someone who is dead. There's no Pollyanna answer here. The miracle Jesus wrought in bringing Lazarus back to life from death wasn't done when Lazarus' sisters wanted it to be done and anyone else. It wasn't even done in a spectacular way. One of the things I've often wondered is, why did Jesus tell people to move away the stone? If it was me, and thankfully it wasn't, if it was me, I would have blown the stone up. Or, taken it and thrown it into the ocean or something like that. Jesus said, no, just move the stone. Because bringing back life is all the miracle you need here. When it comes to miracles, the restoration of life is considerably larger than blowing up a stone. That was a real situation with real grief, with real loss, with a deep sense of abandonment and then a restoration of hope. Do you think Mary and Martha never felt a sense of hopelessness again after that? I know they did. Because we're human beings. And for all of us who have had those explosions of hope in our lives when God has miraculously intervened, we sometimes think that that means that we will never have doubts, we will never have worries again. And that's just not the case. But what we have, through the witness of Scripture, and for many of us through our own personal experience, we have the deep and sure knowledge that there is always hope. That when it comes to death being the end, maybe it is, but then again, maybe it isn't. And the situation that we're in, catastrophic, awful, grief-creating as it might be, whatever it is, that might be all there is to it. But then again, maybe there's more. Another couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate the resurrection. And I'm looking forward to it. It's a wonderful day. It's the best day of the year. But you don't get the celebration of the resurrection until Good Friday. Is Jesus actually dead? Yes, he was. Was that the end of it? No, it wasn't. We serve a God who brings hope to the hopeless. The people of Israel felt hopeless. Ezekiel went back to them with a message saying that God can even restore life to bones. There is hope. There is always hope. So maybe what you're considering right now or thinking about or pondering seems as final as death. But maybe it isn't. Maybe God will restore the life there that you think is impossible. If God can bring people out of tombs and bring life to bones, he can help us with whatever it is that we are facing. And he can provide hope. Amen.